When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
What is it really going to take to heal ourselves, our communities, and our planet? I'm Alicia Silverstone, and this is The Real Heal. There's something magnificent about the vastness of the oceans, the unimaginable biodiversity, the many ecosystems it sustains, the way it gives us fresh air to breathe by controlling CO2 levels. But what happens when this extraordinary system gets disrupted? In this episode, I sit down with Ali Tabrizi, director of the popular Netflix documentary Seaspiracy. We talk about Ali's transformative experience while filming and how healing our oceans is a critical step in healing ourselves. So without further ado, let's get into the real heal. Hi there, Ali. I am so excited to talk to you today about oceans and all kinds of things on The Real Heal. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing. Your film was so powerful, but I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart because I think you're incredible.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. Thank you so much. It's always incredible to me every time someone says something like that because, as you know, you make a film and you kind of send it off into the universe and then there it lives. And then because it was launched during COVID, we didn't have like an in-person premiere. And so all the interaction has literally been through these kinds of moments of people sort of telling me how they viewed it. And so it's amazing to hear that the film has sort of achieved its goal in terms of sort of awakening some awareness and action for the ocean.
Yes. I have been on this journey for 25 years or something, and I didn't know so much of what you taught me. I want to start, though, by talking about how you're just a guy who really was, when you were a child, you just loved the ocean. Can you tell us about sort of you as a little person who had an interest in this so we can understand where this love came from?
Well, I think it starts from growing up by the coast here in the southeast of England. And it's just the place that you go during the summer breaks. It's the place that you go after school. It was always just a place that I hung out. You know, I would go skateboarding by the ocean on the boulevard. And so it was just always there. And obviously, David Attenborough is a little bit of a legend here in the UK. And you grow up watching his films. And I think previous generation, it would be someone like Jacques Cousteau. And I think a lot of the mystery and wonder was born out of the idea that just to be on the horizon, there's this whole incredible world and it's just beneath the surface and you can go out there and you can explore it. And these incredible, you know, shots of dolphins leaping out the water in slow motion and these coral reefs and this incredible Hans Zimmer music playing in the background. It's just something that just the adventure was calling me. And so, you know, I really wanted to one day explore the world. I wanted to travel. And as I was entering sort of my late teen years, it was really when I started to see that there was a change in the way that the ocean was being reported. And not only that, the way I was viewing the ocean, it seemed like there was less wildlife, even here in the UK, where there isn't really much at all. And one day, actually just after school, coming back home, there was this huge whale, like this giant whale that washed up on the beach just down the road, basically from where I lived. And that was the first time I'd actually seen one of these huge giants like that close up. And it felt like I'd been, that opportunity to see that wonder that I'd always wanted was kind of stolen away from me because it was just laying there dead. And of course, in its stomach was marine debris, you know, plastics and things like that. And so that started to enter my consciousness about how the oceans really were. And I guess before I knew it, I over the years, slowly, I was starting to understand more and more. And to the point when I was like, yeah, 21, when I began making this film, really understanding there's a broader picture. So, you know, then going to Japan and then going here and there. And then I guess that's where the sort of Alice in Wonderland down the rabbit hole kind of started.
So you really, somewhere along that way, before you went to start making this film, it became clear that you were so passionate about what you were learning that you had to tell the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I understand that you've basically set up a Disrupt Foundation with the mission to improve the lives of people, animals, and the health of ecosystems through your ongoing work to ensure a prosperous and thriving planet for current and future generations. I guess why I'm saying that is so that we can help people understand your overall mission, that if, because I think a lot of people hear the word Seaspiracy and they go, I don't want to see that because it's going to make me stop eating fish. Mm. And then I have to say, well, if you're scared of watching it, you really should watch it, right? Because maybe you won't give up eating fish, but maybe you'll learn a bunch of stuff and have a better understanding of what you are choosing. But your mission is bigger than just that. And so I would like to seduce people in by having them understand what you're really trying to do here and how it affects all of us, not just fish.
The Netflix documentary reached, I mean, I don't know how many millions of people it reached, but really there's so much that we couldn't fit into that film that we really wanted a space where we could explore those stories more and support those grassroots activists and to dive into further research and investigation and keep educating the public. And so that's why we set that up. And so this is something that affects all of us, no matter where you are on Earth. The oceans, we are on a blue planet. It's providing most of our oxygen, like 85, 90% of our oxygen. And this isn't just about marine wildlife. This is also about people. Every year, about 24,000 fisheries workers die within the fishing industry. Slavery in these fishing vessels, on these fishing boats, have been reported in about 47 countries. And in the film, we'd explored the slavery that was happening in Thailand. But there's been slavery that's been reported off the coast of European countries. So this is really all over the world where we're witnessing this happen. And one of the reasons for that is that with an ocean which is being plundered of wildlife, it's now taking longer and longer to catch those fish. And so more fuel is being burned, the ships need more maintenance. And so the only way these captains can really cut down on the cost is on the human labor. And so that's why we've seen this rise in human slavery within the fishing industry as a means of cutting back on the costs. And so that's really the mission of Seaspiracy is, you know, we absolutely need to protect wildlife. We absolutely need to protect those ecosystems, but we also need to approach this from a human rights angle as well. And so that's really the mission of what Seaspiracy is about and why we've continued so hard on social media to continue investigating and educating the public.
Yeah, that was, I had no idea when I watched about the slaves. That was fascinating. And I can't even imagine. And I wanted to say that when I saw the film, the one little good news about the movie, I guess, if you could say, is that, you know, a lot of these films about animals or about our earth crush you. I would be hysterically bawling at the end of a film. The good news about Seaspiracy, I will say that while you're speaking about these very sad things, it's not a sad movie. I didn't cry watching your movie. I just learned a lot. I don't know that it's good or bad, other than I want to say to people, don't be afraid. You won't be crushed. You'll just learn.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We didn't want to make a film that was sort of beating people over the head with something. All throughout the movie, you know, we never, as a narrator, I never sort of said what people should do. It was very much coming from the people that I was meeting and speaking to. And so, yeah, it was striking that balance, you know, and there was also so many things that we didn't include in the movie because it would have just been too dense. And we just wanted to capture the whole picture and make sure that it was easy to follow and it was entertaining and it was also educational.
Yeah. You made this quote that I think is so important. Tuna isn't a sandwich filling. It's a wild animal. Many of these species that we're killing and eating are threatened or endangered. It's like going into the African savanna, hunting down a rhino, chopping it up and putting it in a sandwich. We have to ask ourselves the question, is this the species we want to be? And you know, you have to kind of see the film to understand the whole context of that. But basically, I always knew that the fish were big fish and that it was that they didn't want their lives to be taken and that it was not a nice thing to watch them suffer when they are taken out of the water. But what I didn't know was that if you choose a fish to eat, that you're really choosing the slaughter of a dolphin, a whale, a shark, and a turtle. That all of these creatures that we're trying to protect and that we love and admire and go look at and love, and we know that many of them are going extinct, that those are the animals that we're killing when you choose tuna sandwich or any fish sandwich. And I think that's really, really powerful. And I didn't understand that. So I'm so happy to have learned that from you.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of collateral damage. There's a huge number of invisible victims whenever you're partaking in part of the seafood industry. You're literally dunking these killing devices, these nets, into the abyss. You can't see what's down there. And you're catching everything. And then you pull it up on the boat and, okay, you select what you want and what you can sell and you throw the rest overboard. But what gets thrown overboard is often those whales, those sharks, those dolphins. Even though there are these organizations and systems in place for Dolphin Safe, when we went to speak to those organizations, they could not guarantee anything, and that they basically admitted that their labels are useless, which was shocking to me. And so I think it just feeds back into this corruption and this deceit that is so prominent when you're looking at these kinds of labels, which quite frankly don't mean anything. And it's just greenwashing. It's just a marketing term. And the victims at the end of the day are those wildlife, those dolphins, those whales. And we've seen those populations crashing all around the world over the last like 50 years on the watch of those sustainability labels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sustainability thing is really, really hard because I think that I was at the farmer's market the other day and I saw a really long line for the sustainable fish. And I just thought, like, maybe at the farmer's market, maybe that person goes out in a tiny boat and collects it. I don't know. I've never talked to the guy because I don't go there to get fish. So, but I thought this is probably not actually sustainable. And, you know, you have these apps that tell you this fish is more sustainable than that fish. I think that the organizations have those. And ultimately, it's not sustainable at all.
Just in the same way that we have this misconception about the sort of small local farm, the same is true with the small local fishing industry. And so in the film, we referenced one, for example, that was in Iceland. And there's a small fishing fleet. I think in a matter of, was it a month, they were catching something like 900 seals. Yeah, again, like 1,000 porpoises and like 5,000 seabirds in just a month of bycatch. And this, again, is a very small scale, local Icelandic fishery that is having huge amounts of bycatch. And so that's happening around the world. you know, sustainability is only measured in terms of the sort of human consumption element of it. So let's say we have a certain number of mackerel or a certain number of small fish here, and we say, okay, well, let's take this amount this year, and next year, the idea would be that they replenish themselves. But that's not taking into account that when you remove that portion, you've also removed the food for the dolphins and the whales and the turtles, who are now having less food that they can eat. And so sustainability is only really measuring human consumption, not the overall big picture. And so, yeah, for me, sustainable fishing, it's a bit of a myth. It's a huge myth for me.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Well, let's talk a little bit about subsidies, because I think that people have no idea the fishing industry gets $35 billion in subsidies a year. This is so disgusting. And why? How do they even justify needing that or asking for that? How does that go down?
Yeah, so a subsidy, for people who don't know much about economics, is basically where the government takes taxpayer money and gives it to an industry in order to manipulate the price of a product or service. What we're seeing with the fishing industry is that it's becoming so incredibly expensive to catch fish, because you've got these often multi-million dollar fishing vessels who require huge amounts of resources to run them, the fuel, the crew, the maintenance, the fishing licenses, and needing to travel internationally. It's dangerous work. And not only that, the fish are running out. We've already lost 90% of the large fish in our ocean in the last 50 something years. And we've, you know, many shark species are down to like 99%. They've all gone. The ocean is just completely being drained of fish. And so they need to stay at sea far longer to catch anything. And so the government, by giving that money to the fishing industry, can sort of buffer the price of fish down to a sort of affordable rate. What's actually happening now is that many fishing vessels are actually going to catch the subsidies and not to catch the fish. They are only going out to sea to become eligible to get the subsidy, which is really what's keeping them afloat. And so if we were to remove fishing subsidies from the fishing industry, you would probably see more than half of the fishing fleet go out of business overnight. They just wouldn't be able to afford it. And so our governments are taking our taxpayer money, giving it to an industry that is set on the slaughter of marine wildlife and the destruction of probably, I would argue, the most important ecosystem on Earth, and not even being able to show anything for it. Within the EU, many countries are giving tens of millions of euros into the sort of EU fishing subsidies without getting anything back. So some countries are giving millions and getting zero value in terms of fish product back. It's a complete money pit. And it's the same as what's happening with animal agriculture on land. And I would like to see them go as well.
I think that hearing about subsidies and you explaining it so beautifully, it just makes me think that there isn't enough awareness about this, that people really just don't understand that it's not a sustainable system. The government giving so much money to these industries, which essentially are corporate. They're not the little guy. And they do it in the disguise. The argument would be, well, we have to feed the people. So we have to keep these companies afloat. If they would just allow them to disappear and let the little guys do the work, it would be so much better. Allow it to have its true cost. And so how do we get that message out there? How do we spread this more? What actually subsidies do? And how to stop it? Can we stop it?
So, I mean, we have three messages which are call to actions at the end of the film and that we continue to promote. And that is that we all need to shift towards a plant-based diet as much as possible. And so really that is encapsulated by the word stop. We need to stop partaking in this industry. The other one is to protect. We need to protect large areas of the ocean, but we need to defund the fishing subsidies. And what people don't realize is that when they go out and they buy that fillet of fish or the seafood or the prawns or whatever they might be doing, they're actually paying for it twice or three times. So once when they go and pay at the counter, but they've already paid for that in their taxes. Governments are taking taxpayer money and they are handing it in the form of $35 billion every year to the fishing industry to artificially manipulate the price of fish to be cheaper. Because it's actually an incredibly expensive product to try and get to a supermarket shelf. About half of all fishing, especially on the high seas, is completely unprofitable if it weren't for subsidies. The rest of the percentage is just about breaking even. And so if you were to remove those subsidies, you would see most of the fishing fleet return to port and be out of business, because it's just simply not an effective, efficient way of producing food. The most efficient is obviously in plant-based agriculture. And so I think if we were to remove them, you would very quickly see that signal ripple out through the marketplace and people would see actually how luxurious and unattainable these products really are, which are currently being disguised as very, very cheap food that's being sold in McDonald's and school canteens. And really, I think that would incentivize people to shift more towards buying plants instead.
I think one of the things that, just to help listeners understand why they should care, because maybe they go, I don't care about whales. I don't care about dolphins. I don't care about human rights. I don't care about people being murdered. I don't care about people being slaves on boats. I don't care about any of that. How could you not? But let's say they don't. So then another thing that we have to have them understand is that without the ocean, which we are destroying, we will have no food, that there's no oxygen. Can you explain that a little bit about how urgently we need this to shift, not only because climate change is coming upon us so quickly, but how that is affecting the ocean and your day-to-day? What will it mean if we have no fish in this ocean? What will it mean?
I think coming from a selfish position on this it's not a position that I'm used to taking. But I think there is inherently selfish benefits to not having a planet with a dead ocean. The ocean provides about 85% of the world's oxygen. So that's roughly 8 out of every 10 breaths that you're breathing was an exhalation from the ocean. And it's not the water, it's these microscopic phytoplankton in the ocean. Without them, we don't have a planet to live on. Kiss goodbye all your dreams and all your ambitions and everyday life. And one of the major threats to phytoplankton is the destruction of the wildlife in the ocean, the whales, the fish, the turtles. which are actually acting like the gardeners of the ocean, who are frequently fertilizing and mixing up nutrients. And I often wonder the sort of intelligent design argument of whales, because they're so genius the way this whole mechanism works. And I love telling the story. Basically, whales, large whales, in order to feed, they need to dive to the dark depths, where it's very nutrient dense, but there's no sunlight, so no plants can grow. But in order to breathe, they need to return to the surface, where there isn't a lot of nutrients, but there is sunlight for those plants to grow. And so basically, when a whale dives down deep, it collects all these nutrients in the food it eats. And when it goes to the top, it breathes and it releases those nutrients in the form of manure. And so by doing that every single day, that is keeping us alive. So we need those whales. And we also need the fish, who are doing the same thing. So without fish, without whales, we wouldn't have oxygen in our lungs. And so that's, I mean, a pretty obvious reason why we need to protect the ocean, not to mention all the other sort of incredible things that come from the ocean, the sort of tourism and all the rest of it. So that would be my main argument. Breathe.
That was what I was looking for, because I think that it's easy to not understand any of that, to not understand that it's not a, when you choose like, oh, I want to have that fish taco. Yeah, they're really delicious. But what is it going to cost me? What is it going to cost in 10 years? I don't understand how it isn't at the top priority of every living being, because it's a real threat. And I just, the industries that thrive and make money off of it continue to tell us that it's, don't worry about it. It's no problem. Don't worry about it. No problem. But it is a really real problem, and they're going to be faced with it soon. And then what? Like, how will they deal with this?
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So I'm thinking about all of what you're saying is so powerful, and so I'm just so happy that you're expressing all of this, and your film does it so beautifully. And again, you must watch it. But I'm just thinking to the person who's going, but wait a second, but it's yummy and I need it for my health. For your health, the omegas we get from walnuts, we get from seaweed, the food that the animals that these fish are eating, cut out the middleman, you know? And I have tons of great seaweed recipes in my book, The Kind Diet and The Kind Mama. And seaweed is so good for your skin. It's so nourishing and healing. It's a really important thing to add into your life, but we don't need fish to do it. Now, on the yummy section, I just wanted to ask you, aside from all the things that are yummy out there that you can eat that are plant-based, because anybody given one plate of food, if there's two plates of food, one is right here and it causes destruction and it causes all the suffering, but it's yummy. And there's another plate right here that's just as yummy, but it doesn't create any destruction. I think any person would pick the one that doesn't cause destruction. But I don't think people are informed about that. So what I wanted to ask you is, what is the yummiest fish substitutes that you have found? Don't give shout outs to like your friend companies. I want to know, what is the yummiest, because there's a lot of faux fish, but what is like the ones that you say a meat eater would be impressed by?
Man, that's a great question. Okay.
Selfish question for me.
So, in the UK, there is a growing number of really excellent fish and chips, which is a very British kind of dish.
Yeah,
it's like battered fish with chips. A friend of mine, who some listeners may be aware of, he's called Earthling Ed. He's a vegan activist from the UK. And I believe he has a restaurant in London called Unity Diner. And in Unity Diner, as well as another one, which is called the No Catch Co., which is now on the seafront in Brighton, they're selling incredible vegan fish and chips. So that's an incredible one. But, and I think, I don't know what it's based, it might be tofu, but they've done something really special with it. And it's really incredible. And also there are a lot of incredible vegan battered prawns and tuna. And there's so many alternatives. And I think what's exciting about this space in particular is because they're the newest ones. You know, we've had plant-based milks for quite a while, you know, the awful soy milks from years ago, but now they're really good ones. And there's been like the Beyond Meats and the Impossible Meats come in, and the sort of chicken substitutes, which are basically the same. They taste the same. With seafood, it's only just starting to come in.
Yeah.
And what was exciting was that when the film was released, just a matter of weeks later, a vegan tuna company had secured something like $26 million in investment off the back of, I think, the hype of the film. And so that's really exciting to see that this is a new emerging space in the sort of plant-based food sector, which is growing really rapidly. But yeah, you can't beat a good old, even like a Whole Foods-based vegan sushi. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. You know, you can create banana blossom fish is incredible. I don't know if you've tried that.
What's it called?
Banana blossom. Have you ever tried it?
No.
You can basically deep fry it and it has the texture, the flaky texture of fish, and it's incredible. So there's a growing, so basically the alternatives are out there and they're getting really, really good. And I think give it another couple of years and we'll see them exponentially improve. And I think it's going to be really easy for people to transition because, like you gave that example of like, okay, you have one dish here which causes suffering and the other one which causes negligible suffering or no suffering. Of course, the no-brainer would be to go to the no suffering, but what if it tasted like cardboard? Now, of course, the masses aren't going to do that. Maybe you will, maybe I will, but most people won't. So I think it's really important that those companies that are developing those products do their best to be as lifelike as possible to the real thing. Because until that happens, it's not going to be a very easy transition for a lot of people.
Yeah. And so I want everyone to come as far on this journey as they can and to not be dissuaded because they can't do it all the way. I think that's the key. I'm willing to do this all the way. You're willing to do this all the way. But there have been times where I've had oopsie doopsies. And so just to say that I'd rather someone declare, I'm going to be vegan and I'm going to do the best I can to do this. And every day I'm going to wake up and be vegan. And then, oops, I messed up. Great. Get right back on track. That kind of a vegan, of an oopsie doopsie vegan, is way better than nothing at all. Because if we decide to just not do it, then we're not going to make any progress.
You know, if we had the majority of people eating mostly plants, it would do overall better than just a few people who are hardcore vegans. So the more people that can transition in the direction of being plant-based, the better it will be. For some people, it will be an overnight transition. For others, it might take a couple of weeks. But a lot of it is just forming those new habits and understanding, okay, what are the new foods and finding those alternatives. And so what's been really cool is at the beginning, when going vegan, it did feel like I was giving up a lot of things and those sort of traditional things that I used to eat growing up. And now I've been able to rediscover them and enjoy them again. And it's simply just swapping out the real chicken or the real fish for the plant-based alternative. And I got to say that they're getting really, really good. So,
yeah. And what about the fact that people say that fish don't feel?
I think that's a story we tell ourselves to justify the way that we treat them. I think it isn't something that we only do to fish. It's something that happens in times of war and crisis, the dehumanization, the stripping away of any sort of autonomy from the victims that might be at the other end of the gun, but the other end of the fork in our case. And I think that is one of the core aspects that we need to really look at compassionately and actually ask ourselves those questions. But thankfully, we've now got the science to be able to back that up. There's been huge numbers of experiments and observations. And when you look at the nervous system of a fish, it detects the same kind of pain that humans do, the sort of heat, I forget like the five kinds, but we reflect the same way. So, and I think there's also a Peter Singer quote who wrote Animal Liberation years ago that says, you know, in all the ways that we find to justify why humans are better than the animals, in our suffering, the animals and us are the same. We suffer the same. I think there's a really interesting area of literature in sort of animal studies or the observation of animals, which we weren't able to squeeze into the film, just a little bit about the sentience of fish, which is really mind-blowing. That's something that I really recommend people look into themselves. And it's something that we're going to be putting more effort in to communicating on our Seaspiracy Instagram, because I think it's such an... For a long time, we told ourselves that humans were the only animals that use tools. And then, of course, Jane Goodall was able to document that apes were doing that as well in the heart of Africa. And now we're finding more and more that more animals are using tools, including fish, who are able to use tools to crack open shells and find food that way. And I think we're actually finding that we're more like animals than we realized all these years that actually justified our treatment of those animals. We named ourselves human beings kind of aspirationally to be those humane beings. And I don't think we've quite lived up to our title yet.
Yeah. So I guess we have to ask ourselves, are we comfortable knowing that our food came from mass murder and pain, right? I mean, does that really feel good to us? Does that feel healing? And I hope the answer is no.
There's a response that some people can have to watching a film like Seaspiracy or other films, in that they sometimes might want to shy away from it and that, you know, I don't want to see that. I don't want to look at it. And of course, if it's not good enough for your eyes, why is it good enough for your stomach? And I think consuming those things, I don't think is just inherently good for us. Psychologically, there's a huge amount of effort that goes into the cognitive dissonance of that in order to block out that reality. There's a huge gray area that we're not looking at. And I think when we start addressing that, although it may be confrontational at first, it's precisely the area that we do need to look in order to sort of grow as people and to do that healing that we need to do and to look in those areas that we've been avoiding all this time. I think when in therapy and in psychology, it's about looking at those things that we've been avoiding feeling for so long that is where the healing really needs to take place.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything you want to tell me otherwise, I mean, I'm just so grateful that you've been here talking to me all this time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's really a pleasure to be able to speak about something that I'm passionate about on a platform like yours. You know, even if we can inspire just a couple of people to sort of look at this further, then I'm happy. And I think if people haven't watched the film already, then the film is there. It's available. It's sort of an engine that's always going to be on the Netflix platform to raise awareness and educate and also entertain. It's something to, you know, to watch over dinner with a friend. But also we are taking the mission and the journey beyond that. So we've got our social media platforms, and that's where, you know, every day or every other day, we're putting out, you know, more breaking news, more investigations, you know, videos, carousels and things like that to really keep the conversation alive. Because it's so important that this isn't just a flash in the pan and that it can, to use a phrase that we so often criticize in the film, be a sustainable kind of message going forward, you know.
Yes. Well, I can't wait to see all that you continue to do. I'm going to follow you on Instagram immediately so that I can be up on what Seaspiracy is doing. And just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing in the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And continue, you know, doing what you're doing with this great podcast to inspire healing.
Thank you. To dig deeper into this episode's topic and resources, visit thekindlife.com. The Real Heal is an iHeartRadio production made in partnership with Frequency Media. I'm your host, Alicia Silverstone. From iHeartRadio, our managing producer is Lindsay Hoffman. From Frequency Media, Michelle Corey is our executive producer. Jordan Rizzieri is our producer. And Imani Leonard and Laura Boyman are our associate producers. Sydney Evans is our dialogue editor. And Claire Bidigary Curtis is our mixer and sound designer. This podcast is available on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are found.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at viking.com.